sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The internet continues to shape how we do business. It's where prospects decide who to buy from, you or your competitor. Welcome to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby, the live radio program that gives you strategies for smarter web marketing.
And welcome to another episode of Generation Web. We have a very intriguing episode for you today. We're speaking with Boris Greencott, the author of the 2011 Marketing Sherpa Landing Page Optimization Benchmark Report. And we're going to be talking about building an operational plan for landing page optimization and testing. And the acronym for landing page optimization is LPO. So we'll be referring to that acronym throughout the episode today, just so you know what it is. And whether you are spending money on paid search, social media marketing, search engine optimization, or any other efforts to drive traffic to your business's website, you may be wasting a greater part of that expense. Why is that? Well, most marketers know that their website conversion rates are somewhere in the single-digit range. And if 10% of your traffic converts, for example, that means the sweat, money, and tears expended on the other 90% may have been wasted. Makes sense. LPO, or post-click optimization as it's been called, is used to describe conversion-driven efforts to improve the return on their website traffic. There are a number of free resources available to pick up best practices and testing ideas all over the web, I'm sure. But how do you make LPO a regular process rather than a hit-or-miss exercise? That's the question we want to answer today. In today's episode, Boris Greencott, author of, like I mentioned, Marketing Sherpa's first ever landing page optimization benchmark report, will share some of his insights to help you build a case for LPO in your specific organization. And if you are already an LPO practitioner, to develop an operational LPO checklist. So without further ado, I want to introduce Boris. Boris Greencott is Associate Director of Product Development at Marketing Sherpa. Boris is part of part social scientist, part techie, and part philosopher. With academic background in social science research and a technology resume, he combined his passion for discovering human motives in the digital medium in conversion optimization. And Boris's work with Fortune 500 and international research partners included experimental design, business intelligence, competitive strategy, and lead generation. He's led optimization projects, each generating tens of millions of dollars. Shifting his focus to writing in 2011, he has completed Marketing Sherpa's LPO benchmark report, of course, and continues to contribute to various blogs and webinars, as well as to teach LPO or landing page optimization workshops across the country. Boris holds an MBA from the University of Florida and a bachelor's in religious studies with a certificate in international relations from Cornell. Boris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for that very generous introduction.
Well, you're certainly qualified to be able to speak on this topic, Boris. The LPO benchmark report is, I think, 248 pages long. It is a very intriguing report to read and very practical. There's a lot of charts. I was reading through it myself yesterday, and it very much gave me a lot of practical advice as to how I can personally improve my skills in LPO. So thank you in advance.
Oh, Great to hear that. That's pretty much what Marketing Sherpa, I guess, is known for. I joined the team on the primary research side just recently, but Marketing Sherpa has been around since since 2000, and that's what it's known for. It's really this benchmark data and how-to practical information that marketers can use in their kind of day-to-day operations.
Great. So the recent release of Marketing Sherpa is, like I said, first ever LPO benchmark report. It's created quite a bit of buzz. Tell us a little bit about what the report is focused on, what its objective is.
So as you have had a chance to take a look, the report is pretty extensive. And Marketing Sherpa has a handbook on landing pages that has been published in the past. This is the first time we actually go out and get best practices for marketers out there in the field. And so it had to be pretty extensive. Part of the reason is that LPO and other marketers probably know it by different names, like you mentioned, post-click optimization or conversion optimization and so on. The reason why there are different terms is because the field hasn't matured yet, and so there's a lot of different practices, a lot of different directions. Even the term LPO is not, it's pretty broad. What's a landing page? It's kind of a legacy term. It used to primarily refer to pages where marketers would land visitors from a paid search ad or from an affiliate ad. Now it's a lot broader, so we use the legacy term because it's the oldest, but it's maybe not as precise. I think it's probably one that most people will understand. Now we refer to landing pages as really any page that a visitor lands on when we know kind of where they're coming from. So we can deconstruct the experience in the same way, analyze it, and then optimize to get the maximum conversion. So to answer your question, the report focuses on several different areas. So on the one hand, we want to help marketers who are not yet engaged in LPO to be able to kind of sell that within their organization. In fact, my experience, a big chunk of my experience comes from working in more of a consulting capacity and helping our major research partners complete optimization projects. And we find a lot of the time it's really organizational barriers more than anything else that are a problem to getting projects completed. So we want to give marketers information that will help sell LPO inside the organization. So we're looking at what kind of results are marketers getting out there, what kind of ROI. We're also looking at where are marketers investing their resources. We're looking at different challenges that they have and kind of different prioritization of those challenges and how they're addressing them. Another part of the report is looking at kind of key core elements of strategy. So what are the key things marketers need to consider in order to build an optimization program? It's not just, a lot of the time we find marketers want to find a quick fix. What's the best button design? Do we need short copy or long copy? And those, a lot of the time, there is definitely low-hanging fruit. And there's actually a lot of information from Marketing Sherpa and other companies. Like I know you had Ann Holland from Which Desk One on the show before, pretty recently. And so marketers can look at those examples and learn from them. But actually, Ann said the same thing, you have to test yourself. So there is low-hanging fruit, but ultimately the greatest value is in establishing a consistent program that you can get results kind of month over month over month. So the report includes data on strategic elements of LPO, and then also, of course, has tactics. So really getting to, there's probably, I think, some like 19 different tactics that marketers use, and we analyze those, where marketers get the most results. We look at different metrics also that marketers use to analyze results and to measure. Measurement is also a big part of optimization. And then lastly, we talk about testing and different methodologies that marketers use to test their pages, whether they measure certain things, whether they also calculate statistical validity, and that's where we get into a little bit more of technical details.
Okay. Yeah, with a newer field or more emerging field like this, I can see the need for sharing this information with marketers, how they can establish a program internally. Since it is new and maybe organizations might not be as keen as they would adopting maybe more traditional forms of online marketing, for example. So I think it's very timely. And you know, we're going to go to a break here in just a minute or so. And when we come back, Boris, you've mentioned something that you created called the master task list for developing a proposed optimization plan, or LPO. And I want you to talk about that when we come back from the break, because it sounds very intriguing. I want you to just kind of walk us through that. So when we come back from the break, we're going to dive right into that master task list and talk more about LPO. We'll be back with you in a minute.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. The modern world has experienced fundamental era changes from the industrial age to the information age to the age of complexity. Technology and globalization are rapidly changing the world we live in. Yet our way of thinking and the conversations that drive our decisions are stuck in the past. To find prosperity, business and communities need the skills to learn new ways of thinking and find the right conversations to move comfortably into the future. How can you sort it all out? Tune in to The Science of Change with Dr. Barbara Berry and Lise Inman, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
You want to know the inside scoop on how today's leaders do business? How they hire and develop top talent? How do they retain top employees and customers? Tune in to Leadership Leverage on the Voice America Business Channel. Every week, Dr. Robert Denker will offer ideas and facilitate discussion with guests that will help shape today's up-and-coming leaders, as well as established leaders in their fields. Listen for Leadership Leverage every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
If you're just joining us for the first time during today's episode, we're speaking with Boris Greencott, author of the first ever landing page optimization benchmark report by Marketing Sherpa. And right before the break, Boris was talking to our listeners about the importance of building an operational framework or plan internally to help build the case for landing page optimization at your organization. And we talked briefly touched on what you've called, Boris, the master task list. Can we let's dive into that? Talk to our listeners about what that is and what the purpose is.
Sure. So it's a pretty highfalutin term. But what I wanted to do is to give marketers kind of somewhat of a high level, but absolutely indispensable kind of set of steps. And it's really just three steps, three things you need to do every time in an optimization project. So anytime you go out there, and like I said, Marketing Sherpa has case studies for you to study. Other websites do as well. And you can learn from other marketers, but it's key that you apply those best practices in a strategic way. So you look at your own website and you base how you apply those best practices on a specific strategy. So here are the kind of the three key elements that I wanted to share. First one is to define the objective. It might sound like it's so simplistic. You might think, oh, of course I know what the objective is. But actually, it is worthwhile to go through the exercise and establish your objective very explicitly. Through testing, we have found in the past that when you have multiple objectives in the website, and particularly when you have multiple objectives on the page, that creates a distraction for the visitor, and that can take them, and it basically ends up that they do not convert at all because you're trying to do too many things. And a lot of the times, some of the objectives that you find on the page are actually not even aligned with your business objectives. So first step in setting up your optimization program is to identify the objective of your website. And you do that first by explicitly stating your business objectives, then mapping those objectives onto your website objectives. So your business objectives may not be exactly the same as your website objectives. You have to map one onto the other and figure out how they align. And then also it's important that you go through the exercise of describing those objectives in terms of specific actions you want the visitor to take. So as opposed to saying, well, I need a sale, you can say, well, I need the visitor to click here, I need them to click on this button, I need them to read this page, and so on. Almost taking it down to the physical actions. You know, I need them to click right here on this part of the page. I need to make sure that they scroll down. That's how you define, and it actually connects to a bit of a separate topic, but the idea of how do you define conversion. A lot of the time, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so give our listeners an example of a business objective.
Sure. So typically a business objective can be very broad, like we need more sales, right? We need to increase our revenue, or in particular, maybe we need to increase sales of a particular line. And that's fine. So that's a broad business objective. But then we need to take it down to the website objective, which would break down to several things, like we need more people to add to cart. We need more people to, or we need customers to buy more products. So we need to focus on upsells and so on. So these are more website-specific objectives that has to do with really how your website functions. Does your website allow cross-sells and upsells? So you can state those objectives. And then you go down to next level, which is define them in terms of visitor actions. And then you actually look at what link do I need the visitor to click on? What is the most important button? And that's where, once you look at multiple objectives, and you define them properly, and really in an ideal case, and I usually don't go into this level of detail, but you want to back out those objectives to financial outcomes, so you know that if they click button A, that tends to translate into X dollars, but if they click button B, it tends to translate into Y dollars, then you can actually assign value to those two different clicks. But ultimately, by defining objectives and prioritizing them, you can also prioritize those visitor actions. So once you've done that and you know that button A is the most important button, well, now you know which button you need to make the biggest on that page. Also, in terms of optimizing the site, a lot of the times marketers ask us, well, I know, you know, there's all these different best practices. Where do I start? Part of the report focuses on different pages you can optimize, but also going through this exercise of defining your objectives, then you can look at each page and ask yourself, and this is where the strategy comes in, how you use this objective strategically is you ask, well, does this page contribute to this objective? And that's how you decide, is it important to optimize it? Because there are pages on your site, you can probably off the top of your head, or any marketer can think, well, there's these 10 pages I need to fix, but how do you know which one you need to fix first? So going through the business objective exercise, you can actually prioritize your projects.
Okay. And then of course, measure those actions once they happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and measurement, of course, becomes critical. Everything we do in optimization, and something that sometimes is difficult to do. And we found that something like half of the marketers that said they did not track certain metrics, they said it was because their analytics weren't set up correctly. So marketers are aware that tracking is important. A lot of the time there's some sort of a technical obstacle to that. But analytics are absolutely critical, because this is how you know where to optimize, where to look for opportunities. Actually, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. I don't know, I guess it's part of step two. But also, this is how you measure results. And ultimately, what we want is to measure results based on testing.
Okay. So you mentioned a good segue. You mentioned step two. What is step two? And can you drill down into it for our listeners?
Sure. So step two has to do with making sure you understand visitor preferences and motivations. Again, it sounds very broad. And overall, I define LPO as the intersection of your objective, your website objective, and visitor preferences. It's kind of a combination of the two. That's not even, I wouldn't call it like a best practice. This is the practice of LPO. This is what LPO is all about, is mapping your objectives or connecting your objectives and basically your customer's objectives or their motivations. When you have a match, that's when you optimize the page.
So it's really connecting. It's more market driven, if you will. You're first internalizing, if you will, determining what you want to accomplish out of the page, and then you look at the visitor saying what are their motivations, their preferences, those sorts of things, and then connect the two.
Absolutely, and you have to do both. This is kind of part of what transparent marketing is all about. Actually, our CEO, Flint McLaughlin, talks a lot about this idea, and this is something that existed really before. Now we talk about this in terms of social media, right? This idea of transparency and giving customers what they want. Social media made it much more robust than I guess LPO ever did, because it was a little bit under the radar. But the idea of optimization, what you really do is you create experiences that match visitor preferences. That's really what I would say 90% of landing page optimization is really all about, is using information. This is where that step two comes in. We want to understand what visitors really want and how badly they want it, and create experiences that reflect those motivations. So marketing shouldn't be about, you know, getting people to buy stuff they don't need. Marketing really should be about finding the right customers for the products that you have. And if your product doesn't have any customers, it really doesn't deserve to be out there in the marketplace in the first to begin with.
So you talk about the identifying the paths or pages that contribute to a conversion. Could you talk to us about how one might go about discovering those?
Sure. So this really goes back to this to the importance of analytics. And so marketers who are just starting in LPO, that might be a little bit more challenging for them. This is where LPO really is about, a lot of it is about numbers. It's both a challenge and also a great benefit. It's a challenge because you have tools that you have to understand and use. Some of them can be a lot more complex. Tools like, whether you use Google Analytics or paid tools like Omniture Site Catalyst or Core Metrics and so on, there's definitely great complexity. But you learn a lot about your customers, and you learn a lot more about them through these tools than you would through things like surveys or focus groups, because what you're getting, unlike focus groups or surveys, you're getting actually firsthand view into their behaviors. So as opposed to asking your customers, well, would you buy this product, or does this page look good to you, or if we presented you with a shopping cart, would you go through the process? You actually see which pages cause drop-offs. Right? You can look at a funnel diagram and say, oh, well, and it seems that step three in the shopping cart actually causes 30% of all the abandons. So there's something wrong in that step three. So this is where data becomes absolutely invaluable for marketers to identify, again, opportunities for optimization. Like I said, you know, you can improve any page. You can look at any page and say it can be better. But in a realistic business scenario, you need to know where to apply your resources. And so data is what's going to tell you where those biggest, what we call leaks in the conversion funnel are going to occur.
That's a good word. I like that word, leaks. And hopefully these leaks are not gaping, gushing holes, right?
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. A lot of the time, marketers are being asked, and we have some data on this too, also kind of to help marketers sell LPO in their organization. That shows that a lot of the time, the biggest prioritization challenges, they're being pushed to just drive more traffic. And it seems like such a straightforward proposition, right? Well, we need to get more customers, so what do? Well, let's advertise some more. Let's spend some more money on ads and drive some more PPC traffic. Hey, let's hire somebody to do some more SEO so we can drive more people in organically. Let's set up affiliate programs and get more people in. But the bottom line is, when all those things are meant to drive people to your landing pages or to your homepage, whatever you choose to drive your traffic to, hopefully you do drive them to a dedicated landing page, by the way. But ultimately, you just drive them to your site. But what happens afterwards? So you spent more money. If you were converting at 10% and you just spent more money on ads, you were still converting at 10%, except now the 90% that are not buying from you now are costing you that much more. So you might be getting more customers in terms of absolute numbers, but you're also wasting a lot more money at the same time.
So it's all about filling those holes and tapping into more of those visitors that would have otherwise gone away from the site.
Exactly. And importantly, that you do that also, and that's another kind of aspect to understanding the data that you're getting, is to look at different visitor segments. And again, that can get pretty tricky because, again, segmentation is a more advanced marketing practice. Some marketers are more comfortable with it. For others, it's kind of new. And actually, I think we have a link, I think on the promo page for the show, there's a link to the executive summary. There's just a couple of free charts in there, and one of them shows the different types of data that marketers are using to create visitor segments. So some of those types of data are a little difficult to get, but actually the ones that are the most difficult to analyze are the most valuable things, like knowing their previous purchase behavior, having other CRM type data, because once you have that information about the customer, you can build segments based on their actual purchasing habits, and you can then optimize your site for those segments differently. If you're even more advanced, then you actually build different experience for different segments. So once you recognize a customer that belongs to a certain segment, you recognize their previous behavior, you actually build a different kind of landing page for them, or you direct them to a different page. Some of that you see, great example is, say, Amazon.com. You know, every time you log in, it pretty much knows what you've done. It knows what you've done. It knows where you've been. It knows what you like. So that's a great example of using your past shopping behavior to create a custom experience.
Well, we're coming up on another break here. Boris, this is very interesting, and the segmentation is something that I think is very often overlooked by marketers, at least what I've seen in my career. I'd like you to talk just a little bit more about that when we come back from the break, and then we'll jump into step three.
Sounds great.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. The generation of the web is now. Your competitors are on the web, your prospects are on the web, and they're looking for you. So, are they finding you, or are your competitors getting the business you deserve? Tune in to Generation Web with your host, Matt Dalby. Gain critical insight that your business simply can't live without. Generation Web airs live Thursdays at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 2300 UTC on Voice America Business.
Technology is intended to improve our lives and solve the world's problems, but technology in itself is a complex myriad of concepts, ideas, and security. How do we sort it all out? Tune in to Technology Today with host Ajay Gupta. The program will go inside the world of technology with innovators, engineers, CEOs, and government officials. Our topics will include green technology, healthcare technology, and cybersecurity. Listen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in to It's Your Money with host Bill Pfeifferlich. You'll get an eye-opening education about some of the misconceptions of the financial world. If you are a business owner, working professional, or successful American, you will benefit from the information on our program. Our guests will include financial service professionals, international tax and estate attorneys, and CPAs. We'll identify solutions that you can implement now to get the most of your money. Tune in Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for It's Your Money on Voice America Business. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Welcome back. And we were just speaking with Boris Greencott, author of Marketing Sherpa's Landing Page Optimization Report, the first ever. And Boris, for our listeners, in case they may not be aware, where can they learn more about the new report?
Sure. So the short URL is lpobmr11.marketingsherpa.com. And kind of saying it on the radio, I realize it looks a lot easier written down than it does when you speak it. So if you just go to marketingsherpa.com, that Sherpa is spelled S-H-E-R-P-A, marketingsherpa.com, there should be a banner right on the homepage, and it'll take you to the free excerpt.
Okay. Before the break, you were talking about the second step in this whole process of putting together an LPO plan, the step of understanding your visitor preferences and motivations. And you were speaking about visitor segments. Could you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Segmentation is just a gold mine for marketers. So there's a lot of stuff. The closer you can get to, as I was saying, it's all about matching the preferences. So segmentation is what really gives you those an understanding of those preferences and a convenient way of grouping them together into what we call visitor segments. Now, because of this, you can do a lot of analysis and a lot of kind of complicated both data juggling, but also very complicated ways of reflecting that data in building these custom experiences. But I also want marketers who may not have access to those tools, and also might be just building a case for LPO. And really, to build a case for LPO, what you really need is to get that first win, right? That's the best thing, really. You can demonstrate that, hey, I can do this, and pick those best practices and actually show a concrete result. And so same thing with segmentation. They're kind of low-hanging fruit in segmentation as well. And the biggest thing is understanding where your customer or where your website visitor came from. That tells you a lot of information. Because based on where the visitor came from, you know the reason why they clicked, right? So they didn't just show up on your page. Really, the worst kind of website visitor is somebody who just types in the URL, because then you know nothing about them. You have no idea why they're there. You can only guess. Maybe you ran a TV campaign. Maybe it's word of mouth. Maybe it is previous, they visited before, or maybe they visited by clicking a link before, and now they're just typing in your URL. But ultimately, you know so little about them. On the other hand, when that visitor clicked on an ad or clicked on a link on a different site, clicked on a banner and so on, or maybe you gave them a special URL that you put in a magazine ad, you can even do a crossover from traditional media. But when you know where that visitor came from, that tells you exactly what information they're responding to. So, for example, if you say in your paid search ad, hey, we have $100 blue widgets, well, that by the fact that this visitor clicked on that ad and came to your landing page, you know that's exactly what they're looking for. You know what they're interested in. So you're pretty much halfway there to converting them, because you know so much about their preferences just because you know where they clicked. So marketers who have control of that channel, they know exactly where the person came from, whether it's from outside of the website, so it's an ad, or primarily it's an ad that you yourself put out there. That tells you why they clicked. If it's something you have no control over, for example, it's an affiliate page, or if it's just a referral from another site, it's important that you go out and look in your analytics and look at those sources and you see where your visitors are coming from. Especially look at the more highly converting channels, and you go back and look at those pages or look at those ads where they came from, and now you can optimize your landing page based on what you know those visitors were interested in the first place. And so the way you go kind of all the way to applying that information is, ideally, you create dedicated landing pages for each one, at least of the highest performing channels of traffic, so that if you have a certain PPC campaign, there's a landing page for that. If you have affiliates that send you traffic, you have a special landing page probably for each affiliate, because they probably all drive traffic in a different way. If you get traffic, let's say you're active on Facebook, you probably, depending on what you promote on Facebook and what people are clicking on, you want to create dedicated landing pages for those as well. Well, the worst thing really you can do is just drive absolutely all of your traffic to the same homepage, because there is no way for one page to be able to speak to all these different visitor segments and match all their preferences. Really, the only way that's possible is if you have just a single product, a single option, hanging tomato plant, like one of those where there's just one thing and, you know, people saw the TV commercial and they're coming to your site to buy that one product. There's really no reason to create multiple experiences for that.
I prefer the blue widgets over the hanging tomato plant. this is very intriguing. So basically, in my experience, using those dedicated landing pages for pay-per-click is just a necessity. I mean, I personally, I've never done it any other way. And some of these other channels might, you know, thinking about this thought process and applying it to these other channels might be new for some marketers. And thinking about every single channel. Some of these thoughts are definitely very, you know, cutting edge. Like you mentioned, LPO is a new emerging area. So basically, what you're saying, I mean, at the end of the day, the more relevant you can be to those visitors, the more, you know, in theory, the higher your conversion rate's going to be, because it's going to be appearing to, or in reality, in both, hopefully, it's exactly what the visitor's looking for.
Absolutely, and that takes us to step three, which is creating these relevant and value-driven experiences. It's kind of like the example I like to give is, you know, when you go to a good restaurant, the waiter is not just going to ask you, you know, point to a thing in a menu and then take that information, you know, write it down and take it to the chef and just drop it off. What they're going to do, they're going to actually ask you, what do you like? You know, they're going to find out what your preferences are and then recommend things that match those preferences as closely as possible. They'll also go to the chef and explain it to them too, so that they can kind of customize your meal to your preferences. So same thing is what we need to be doing on our websites, is we need to understand those preferences and then create experiences that match them. So, and that's where those dedicated landing pages come in, is by creating those experiences based on what you know about your customer, is how you're going to get the maximum conversion rate.
Okay. And you use words like relevant and value-driven in step three, and I know that that's on purpose. In the context of LPO, what do you mean by relevant? Just expand a little bit on that concept for listeners.
Sure. So relevance, again, goes back to this core idea and optimization that you need to match. You have your objectives on one hand, and you have the customer's objective on the other hand, and you need to marry the two. So by using segmentation, as I mentioned before, and by looking at your analytics, by learning about your customer as much as possible, that's how you create those relevant experiences. Relevance is a term that's used a lot in content marketing, where it's really more kind of about subject matter, right? You know, we want to give people what they're interested in. I'm using the term relevance even in a deeper sense, because it's not just what they're interested in, but exactly kind of how they're interested in it. It's not just the subject matter. It could also be the process. You know, it could be preferences. About, you know, some people would say, like, it's things like short copy versus long copy, or some people may like to maybe amenable to filling out a long form. Some people are more likely to fill out a form that's actually broken up into multiple steps. This is where testing becomes important too. And actually, when you do test, and testing is absolutely critical. This is really this is what you want to be doing as part of your optimization efforts, because that's how you find out if your efforts are successful or not. When you test, you also test by looking at your segments individually, because what you may find is that, you know, you optimize a page, and what you realize is that, well, segment A, you know, customers that are coming from your paid search campaign started converted more because you changed the page in a certain way. But customers that are coming from your email campaign, you send them to the same page, they're actually converting less. If you were looking only at the aggregate number, if you weren't looking at segments individually, you would look at the blended number, and the blended number may tell you, hey, there was no change. You just, you know, you changed some stuff on the page, but actually the blended conversion rate remained statistically the same. You know, didn't really move the needle. If you look by segment, you may find, oh, hey, this page is actually really good for my PPC campaign, so I'm going to change my page for the PPC campaign, but I'm going to keep the same page for the email campaign, because that's where it did not increase the conversion rate.
Okay. What are some easy ways that's a pretty broad term, but relatively easy ways for marketers to get started, to, you know, with this whole process in terms of creating relevant, value-driven experiences?
Sure. And actually, let me maybe touch on the value-driven part, too. And it's also a topic in itself, the whole idea of value proposition. There's a workshop that we teach where it's probably the single most important topic. But another maybe a little bit outside of scope of this topic, but a quick exercise that marketers might want to go through to understand the value that they're offering to their customer is to kind of actually go and write it out. You know, it's not, a lot of the time we find that marketers know, you know, all the features of their product, or they know everything that their website does, but they can't express value in terms of what the customer wants. So a good way to get started is go through that objective exercise of defining your objective, but also go through the exercise of expressing your value. We found, you see it in the benchmark report, that value is one of the key aspects that marketers are optimizing for. The key aspect that where marketers are finding the most success in optimization is communicating value, establishing credibility. It sounds simplistic, but a lot of the time, marketers are not expressing value. They're just expressing maybe key features versus benefits, which is actually an argument that has been settled, or maybe not completely settled, some time ago. The idea of don't tell your customers what the product can do, but tell them what value they can derive from it. So it's important to go through this exercise so you can actually put those value statements on your website. And again, of course, assuming they're going to align with your objectives.
Okay. Great. Very good stuff. We're coming up on another break here. And when we come back, I'd like to have you share, if you have one, Boris, a case study to help illustrate what you've just been talking about, the process of creating relevant, you know, value-driven experiences.
Sure.
And then also I'd like to touch on some of the highlights from the report, in addition to anything you've already shared thus far. So with that, we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thanks again for staying with us through the break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking to soar with the eagles instead of being grounded with the turkeys? Why not have a gorilla help you out? Listen every week for Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl with host Joby Dixon. Joby has made a living out of helping organizations and individuals become more creative, inventive, and innovative. The show closely parallels Joby's book of the same name. It'll include the process to innovate, how to rewire your brain for creativity, exercises, case studies, and more. Tune in to Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Intense and intelligent. Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, keeps you informed of the ideological, theological, and economic war being waged against the United States of America. Kevin Lehman's bold and brilliant style challenges your deepest held beliefs and provokes you to ask the hard questions, religious, scientific, political, or financial. Kevin is holding the establishment's feet to the fire, with high-profile guests that include politicians, economists, theologians, and business titans. He'll demand truth over tradition and facts over fiction. Full of passion, wisdom, and wit, Kevin's transparent and no-nonsense style make Catch Kevin Unscripted and Uncensored the go-to show for real insight on business, politics, social issues, and breaking news. It's time to get real, America. It's time to tackle the tough issues head on. Tune in to Catch Kevin, Unscripted and Uncensored, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
And welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us for the first time, we're speaking with Boris Grinko, author of this year's and the first ever Marketing Sherpa Landing Page Optimization Benchmark Report. And Boris has been sharing with us the three steps that you can go through. He calls it the master task list for developing a proposed optimization plan at your organization. And just a quick recap for listeners, step one is define the objectives. Step two, understand visitor preferences and motives. Step three, create relevant, value-driven experiences, which is what we were just talking about right before the break. And Boris, if you have one, I'd love to hear a case study that would help illustrate how this can be done.
Sure. So what we left on was this idea of communicating value. And I realized that, you know, within that amount of time we have, it's hard to go through all the different topics we have in this report. But just to at least throw one number out there, we found that 69% of marketers find positive impact of optimizing using optimization tactics that are in the category that we called communicating value or matching visitor preferences. So it's one of the highest ones. The next highest one is also establishing credibility, which is related also to, again, communicating value. So value is so critical in tests. In fact, things like communicating value in the headline or in the call to action can sometimes provide you with very dramatic results with kind of very little investment. So you didn't have to break your shopping cart. You didn't have to move things around on a page. All you did is strengthened how you communicated value on your page, made it maybe more specific, made it more quantitative. That's another tactic that we actually teach in our optimization course. And let me give you one example. I know it's kind of hard to give an example of a web page without showing it to you, but we were working with a research partner that was in the lead list resale space. So they sell email lists and so on. And basically their landing page was performing pretty well, but what it did is the way it expressed value was with statements like searching for the most, it actually asked the question, you know, are you searching for the most accurate mailing lists? Your hunt is over. We have the best data guaranteed, and things like, we are the industry leader in database marketing. So all these statements might sound, oh, that's great, so these guys are really number one, right? But in reality, as consumers, we're so jaded, we're so used to these statements, you know, number one, leading, premier, gourmet, you know, what does gourmet mean anymore? It doesn't mean anything, it just means, you know, food, right? And so, and on the web especially, it becomes even more important because, as probably every listener knows from their own experience, what do you do when you search for something online? You start opening, you go and you search, you open a bunch of tabs, and then you start closing them because you start eliminating things. It's just like when you go to your mailbox and you pull out a bunch of junk mail. What do? Your focus initially is to throw stuff away. And so on our landing page, the same thing. If you don't get the person's attention quickly, you don't communicate value immediately, you just get thrown away. Your visitor is going to go for the X button. So what we did with this research partner is we made these statements a lot more specific. So they used to say things like, you know, we have the best data guaranteed. We actually said, well, we make 26 million calls a year to ensure that you get the most accurate mailing list. So now we didn't just say it's the most accurate, we actually supported the reason why it's the most accurate. There's a concrete reason for that. We clean those lists. Or trusted since 1972, it gives you an idea of how long the company has been in business. Or we have 210 million U.S. consumers, 600 full-time researchers. All these ways of quantifying value immediately communicate that this is true. We're not just saying we're number one. Actually, here's why we're number one. And the as a result of that, I believe this was, and outsized returns like this are not unusual in optimization, especially on sites that have not been optimized. Those changes in copy, and actually there were a couple of small other changes in the layout of the page, and we highlighted certain parts that were already there, but primarily those changes, those the biggest elements on the page resulted in over 200% lift in the conversion rate.
Wow. That's powerful. 200%. I remember many years ago doing some of my initial, you know, LPO on landing pages and testing things like that, and just being shocked at the kind of results that you can get. You know, I've seen some of those websites, you know, as seen in, or you know, in the news sections like that, and then obviously giving specific statistics. It, I know personally as a consumer, those types of statements mean so much to me, and they catch my eye almost more than anything else on the page when I come to a landing page. And then, of course, I'm interested, I'm pulled in, and then I go from there. I'm glad you shared that example, Boris. I think it helps it makes it more concrete for people to see how that can be done. And of course, I'm sure there's many ways that this can be done, depending on the website, right? Just depends.
Absolutely. And so some of the data we have is on kind of there's probably 15 to 19 different page elements. So the data I talked about before was really based more on tactics. This is looking at different page elements, like, you know, the number of calls to action or page header image and body copy and so on. Not to go through the kind of the long list, although, well, I guess maybe I can. If you look at the long list, it's kind of easily to see what's on top. Actually, it's headline and body copy are the two elements that have been the most optimized, the most by marketers by far. So they're both in around 70%+ of marketers that perform LPO have optimized those elements. And there's good reason for that, because that's, like you said, you know, that's the first thing that you see. And that's where you get to an opportunity to communicate value. If we actually, so getting away from specific page elements, but grouping them into categories, and we look at categories like copy, call to action, images, layout, navigation, form elements, we found that actually call to action and layout are two of the highest, two of the best in terms of producing what marketers call very significant impact. So call to action and layout have some of the highest impact overall on conversion.
Interesting. As we close out the show today, are there any final statistics you'd like to share, highlights from the LPO report from this year, you know, kind of a sneak peek for our listeners?
Sure. So I think one of the key statistics, and maybe I'll go to testing, is that what we found is that a large number of marketers believe something like 40% do not validate their test results. So even though they optimize and they improve the conversion on their sites, they're actually not validating the results. And it's absolutely critical. A lot of the times we rely on best practices, but we need to have data to be able to back up our results. And what we've seen in the data also is that marketers that do calculate their ROI, it's something 60-1 that get positive results.
Wow. Well, I wish we had more time, Boris, to go into more of the details of the report, but listeners can get this year's Marketing Sherpa's landing page optimization report at marketingsherpa.com and click on the banner on that homepage there and get a great preview of the report with some free charts, from what I understand. And if anyone, any of our listeners today are interested in contacting Boris, or if you have a question, he's on Twitter at Grinko. Grinkot, and you can also email him at boris.grinkot@marketingsherpa.com. If you have any questions for me, of course, you can always email me at matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's genwebmarketing.com. Boris, any final comments in our last 30 seconds?
I hope you know, the listeners can benefit from the free information that's available in the excerpt, and really mainly it's meant to kind of sell LPO inside their organization. So I realize that for marketers a lot of the time it's difficult to kind of make a case of it internally, and the free case studies and so on MarketingSherpa.com hopefully should help them make that case.
Boris, it's been a pleasure having you on. Very honored to have you and Marketing Sherpa represented here today. And thank you again to all of our listeners for tuning in. And until next week, all the best of success with all of your online marketing adventures.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Generation Web. Please join your host, Matt Dalby, again next Thursday at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time for another show full of great web marketing strategies on the Voice America Business Channel. Until next week, continue the discussion and get exclusive insights at www.genwebmarketing.com. That's genwebmarketing.com.